Well, hello, this is Bill Knight.
And I'm Jim Harrington. We're away this week. We're taking some time to recharge our batteries so that we can come back feisty, and it's going to be a busy few weeks to election.
Oh, yeah. Oh. Well, you know, when we get back, there's going to be the Trump sentencing. Does he go to jail or not go to jail? While we've been gone, has something happened? If it does happen while we're gone, we will get our headsets on and microphones on and give you an update from the road. But other than that, that's about it, except that we do have a best of for you that I think you're going to like.
So, without any further ado, here is one of our favorite programs. Well, hello there. It's a weekend update. I'm Jim Harrington.
And I am Bill Knight. By the way, don't forget, tomorrow, Father's Day.
That's right. How could I forget? You know, I'm ready. Are you ready? I'm always ready for Father's Day. You know, it's really funny. I always say, like, you don't have to get me anything, but I know they do. Shh, I know they do.
Well, that's good.
You know, it's almost, it's like a little game. And I have two great daughters, and they always come up with something nice. And I don't ask for, it doesn't have to be big or expensive, because I know that everything that they do is from the heart. That's all that matters, you know. I'm getting so sentimental. Anyway,
it's because you were a good dad and whatnot. And
well,
so yeah,
I tried. I tried. I wasn't always perfect. I mean, I'm sure if you asked them, they'd come up with a lot of things that I did wrong. But hey,
we all do.
I've been around, and I'm still here, and they haven't thrown me out with the trash yet, so that's good. A lot of things going on in our country right now, and I don't think a lot of them, Bill, are above the radar. I think there's a lot going on behind the scenes that we don't know about. I know that sounds conspiratorial, and I don't mean it to sound that way, but I don't think there's any other way to look at it right now. There's a lot going on. The left is going a little nuts. States like Minnesota that were staunch left are now in the polls going for Trump.
You know, it's interesting. Carville came out, and he was upset in a podcast or some kind of interview. And he's sitting there going, bottom line is, he's saying it's a male problem. And he was picking on females and feminists and all their touchy-feely stuff. And I'm going, be careful there, Jim. But what he's saying is men are flocking to conservative issues and values. And it's not just white men. It's black men, Hispanic. He goes, we've lost the Hispanics. Yeah. We're losing men. It's across the board. And I'm like going, you need to take a step back and forget about everything that you've ever said, if I were him, and sit there and take a broad look. Now, he's going, you know, and he's kind of right. We like to live our lives. We like to go out and have a beer, you know, throw a steak in the Barbie, watch a football game. But it's more than that. It's more than just the weekend recreational stuff. If that's what they think, they are solely wrong. But they do have a problem, and you know, they're losing women, too.
I have the audio from Carville and Donnie Deutsch.
Deutsch?
Yeah, who is a guy who made a lot of money, I believe, in Wall Street, and he's a big leftist, and he's on MSNBC. And I know that I'll have to edit it because Carville has a tendency to throw around four-letter words.
No filter.
No filter, right. It's just whatever comes to his head. Here's
not sugarcoated.
Here's our win.
It is. I want to go back to the black vote because you've talked. I was listening to one of your interviews and you astutely talk about how, from a metrics point of view, the poverty rate is at an all time low. Their wages are at an all time high. None of it makes sense. So please explain the hemorrhaging of the black vote, particularly black men.
Let's start. Joe Biden has been the best president economically that black America's ever had. You can say that Lyndon Johnson, drawing rights and civil rights, and, you know, Obama was a, you know, huge figure in black American history. But in terms of everything, it's hard to beat Joe Biden's record. It's hard to beat Joe Biden's record in terms of appointments. I mean, there's no one that's appointed more black Americans to more senior positions than Biden. And what's happened, I've said this before, part of it is a male problem. We have a huge male problem.
Yes, sir.
And we have a huge male problem all across the board, but particularly, I hate this term, but I'll use it, communities of color, like as if all people that are not white are the same. It's stupid. And I do think, and I, you know, people got a little upset with me when I told Maureen, New York Times, I think Democratic culture has too many preachy females. It's too much. Don't eat hamburgers. Don't watch football. All right. Wear condom. Like, man, leave me alone. You okay? I got a life to lead. You know, the guy works at a tire repair shop in suburban Atlanta. Yeah, motherfucker's working 50 hours a week, you know, making $16.50 an hour. And he wants to watch the football game. He wants to smoke dope and drink beer. And then everybody's telling him he's slothful. And they reject that. And, you know, I just think some of it is this cosmopolitan condensation, if you will. Like, you need to lead the kind of life we lead, not the kind of life you lead. And it pisses people off.
So anyway, that's James Carville. I was sitting here listening to his comments, and I'm in awe of his thinking, because he's got it bass ackwards, if you know what I'm talking about. He says that Joe Biden is the best president the blacks have ever had. Nonsense. I'll just give you one example why Joe Biden is not the best president the blacks have ever had. It's simple. It's obvious to everybody. The economy. Blacks were working during the Trump administration. They were making a living, and the cost of living was down. So forget the nonsense about Carville. He is so full of crap. Pardon my French.
Well, he came up with only two things. Poverty at an all-time low. Well, that is crap, because they're not counting numbers. Look at the homeless out there. Look at all the illegal immigrants out there. Look at the our veterans that have been abandoned and thrown to the curbs of roads everywhere. We have so many people hurting. Oh, salaries are up. Well, okay, you're trying to force them up and forcing businesses into a dilemma. And what's happening there, salaries are up, okay, if you want to say that's really happening. What's also up is the cost of living. There's inflation. There's the border crisis. The list goes on and on. The weakness of the country. We are not better off under Joe Biden than we were before. You're taking little nuances of numbers and touting those as, ha, 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 see, we're doing well. Trump couldn't do that. No, Trump did that and better. We were way better off. No, but then they bring COVID in, and then he mishandled it. But now we know that COVID was all that's a scam, too.
You know, they talk about the Democrats as being the party of the women, right? Women. Mm-hmm. Did you hear how he talked about women in that comment? You know, how they're nagging. They nag people. Come on, Sunday, I want to watch football game, sit around, drink a beer, smoke some dope. Hey, I don't know about you. First of all, I don't sit around on a Sunday drinking beer and smoking dope, watching a football game. The idea isn't to get blitzed. I want to watch the game and understand what's going on.
Well,
I mean, his reasoning is so, I don't know, rural and antiquated, you know? And yet he's supposed to be the party of women today. I don't know.
It's interesting because, you know, there's a paradox that's going on here with the Democratic Party, because they like to highlight individualism. They divide people out. They individualize them. Well, you know, oh, you're LGBTQ. Let's add some more initials to it. You know, you identify as this, 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 and this. So they've got that going on. They take abortion, identify it. They've isolated, you know, blacks, you know, well, Black Lives Matter. You've got Hispanics. You got everything that's going on out there in the world. They've taken all of these people and they say, forget about collectivism. You're individuals. But then they collectively gather everybody all together to sit there and form this coalition that they're trying to unite to call it the Democratic Democracy Movement. but you have been divided, lumped into a canister. If you back up and look at what's going on, you're not an individual.
They are a party of division, in my humble estimation. Donald Trump, there were gay people that lived and existed and
exactly.
went on with life during his administration. They worked in his administration. Never an issue, never a problem. It only has become an issue and a problem since Biden's been in office, when all of a sudden he talks about how he wants to, Trump wants to do this to you, or he wants to do that to you. He said during a speech in front of a black group, he wants to put you all back in chains. He yelled it like he was talking to a room of slaves.
He is taking your individuality and trying to lump it into this collective of people. And if you're an individual, you have individuality. You don't have that in the Democratic Party because you're being targeted and defined, whereas in the Republican sense, hey, you are what you are. That's fine. You want to come on, come over here. Everybody has got their own individual rights. Now, there are, pedophilia, I don't call an individual right, but you have your freedoms to be who you are.
You know, we have gays who listen to this program who are conservative. You know, we don't say, we're not judgmental on your lifestyle. You want to live the way you want to live, and that's your business. That is your business. Really, conservatism deals with more of, economics and the Constitution and how we, as a group of people, no matter what your gender and no matter what your sexual preference, we have a lot in common. There's a lot in common. You and I can have different backgrounds, different college educations. We can have different work experiences. But we share the fact that we're Americans. We share the fact that we live in the same territory. We share the fact that if we're attacked, we're all going to die. You know, we're all going to be hurt. So we have a lot more serious things in common than we do the separatists. The Democrats want to separate you. The Democrats want you to feel as if the guy next door is your enemy. The guy next door isn't your enemy. He's your neighbor. Whether you believe in his economics or his politics or not, he's still your neighbor. Push comes to shove. If we ever go to war, you're not going to turn to the federal government first. You're probably going to turn to your next door neighbor first. You know, what do we do? What do we do? Because he's what you see first, the guy next door. And if he's a gay guy or if he's a straight guy or if he's a Republican or Democrat or if he is a conservative or a liberal, at that moment, that will be very, in World War II, I don't think that the guys over there who were on the front lines, storming the beaches at Normandy or in the Battle of the Bulge.
They didn't care what you were. Let's fight together.
They just fought, period.
Yeah.
Anyway, but the Democrats don't want you to live that way. Guys like Carville, they can't understand it. What's Trump's appeal? Because Trump talks to everybody. Trump has gay friends. Trump, he made Rick Grenell the ambassador to Germany and one of his key advisors. And by the way, a smart, smart guy. And, Grenell doesn't wear his sexuality like it's a badge. That's part of his life. It's not his whole life,
But you listen to that Carville piece of audio there and talk about a sexist and a racist, picking on women and picking on black people and Hispanics. It's like they're pieces of something that you own. Look at here, I got us a black man on our party. I got a Hispanic guy and I got a crazy white girl. I got a crazy Asian girl. No, it's not about that, but that's what he's looking at it as. That's how the Democrats look at it as. You're just a number that they need, and they don't care about your individuality, but they do want to take it and try to make you think that you're something special to them, and you're not. You're just a number, and that's it. You know, you've got no special rights. I think I sent you a piece of audio, not to air, but there was a lady that's, you know, gay. Seems like a cool person. You'd want to go out and have a beer with her, you know, and she was, somebody asked her about Pride Month. She goes, it's unnecessary. We don't need it. We have all the recognition. We have all the individualism that we need. We have benefits and rights that nobody else has. Why do we need any more attention?
Well, I said earlier, I know as a fact we have some of our listeners who are gay, and our show appeals to them because we don't talk down to them. We don't separate them from us, you know? That's their business. And I think a lot of people feel that way. And I know guys like Rush. You may not have liked Rush, but he felt that way. That's not the important part of your life. I mean, cripes, my mom and dad didn't walk around talking about their sexuality all the time. They didn't walk around. I don't think they ever talked about their sexuality. I mean, that wasn't an issue in their lives. The left has made it part of the big issue thing, you know?
They've divided families because, now, my parents were on the same political page, but I knew a lot of families mm-hmm. where the husband was different than the wife. They really didn't talk about it. They went and voted. They vote what they felt, and that was it. And that's where it ended. It started in the voting booth, and it ended right there, you know? But now, I mean, you'll look at a dating site. I won't date anybody that's a MAGA. You know, I won't date anybody that's a lefty left.
It's caused divorces, like, oh, Bill.
Yeah, it has. It's division. There's separation in the family. You got a kid that doesn't believe what you... What the hell? Didn't I raise you better?
Mm-hmm. Well...
You know, there's such a divide in...
What's it? Divide and conquer. If they can keep us divided, they can conquer us as a country. There's no logical reason why...
They can control you.
There's no logical reason why our borders are open. Really, there's none. Don't listen to this story about how we're allowing these people to escape their countries. I mean, these people are coming across because the door is wide open. And it's propped open. I mean, they don't even have to push the door open. It's open because Biden doesn't care. You know why Biden doesn't care? Biden and his group don't care because they want to increase the number of votes they think they'll get for their party because they're losing the votes from the Americans. A lot of Americans are saying, nah, enough is enough.
I don't know if it's a congressional lady or a senator lady, but she's from Maine. And she's saying, hey, you know what? We want you to bus in the immigrants here. We need them for workers. What about the people that are looking for a job and a good paying job that live in the state of Maine? But she wants to bus them in because, you see, there's federal dollars that come in that have been pledged by, well, the Democrats that are in control. She doesn't give a damn about her county and constituents. She just wants them in for votes and money that she will reappropriate somewhere else to a pet project.
You know how our country has changed? A lot of people in the summertime go on vacations, and I've heard this from a lot of people. When they travel, it's not the carefree traveling that they used to have when they went to rest stops and stopped in at restaurants or went to hotels. It's different. People have to be aware of their environment and who they're walking around because these places now have strangers in them that this government has allowed into our country, and not all of them are to be trusted, you know?
Not all of them have the same values that we have. The interesting thing is, you know, we were a nation that we were free to come and roam and go as we please and we planned for vacations to get away. COVID came along conveniently to, you know, disrupt, you know, Trump and everything that was going on that was positive. We spent 2 years locked up and behind a mask thanks to COVID. Was it real or not? Well, you know, that's an opinion of mine that it was all just set up to do something very nefarious. Now people are traveling again. Then the story today is, oh, here's a warning from the federal government that you need to buy your gas in the early morning or late at night because of air quality in these states that will, it's just bad for the earth. So if you live in Arkansas, Alabama, California, Connecticut, Delaware, Georgia, Louisiana, Massachusetts, New York, Nevada, Oklahoma, North Carolina, South Carolina, Tennessee, and Texas.
Wait a second. What difference does buying gas at a certain hour have to do with anything? I mean, you're talking about a fluid, not a fume, a fluid that is going from a pump into a tank.
Mm-hmm.
So how is that, you know, it's better to do it in the morning. Why? Because you have to start your car? Well, those same people who are getting gas, they probably went into the service area to get some coffee, and they had to start their car to get it. I mean, that is nonsense.
But they're pushing that, and then, you know, people will sit there. The news is selling it, and it's like a story that you're reading or watching. And, you know, I made a comment to you before the show that news is become a non-interactive story. You know, so in other words.
And I said that they've dropped one element from news from my youth to now that was a key element, and that was the element of truth.
Well, exactly. So this non-interactive story is a narrative that they want to project onto you, which is what they're doing to Trump. Trump has got 84 felony counts out there. He will become, under Democrat rule, the most notorious criminal in our lifetime before and after. Now, even lefties are going, well, you know, yeah, you know, we got through that trial in New York. 34 felony counts out of three little misdemeanors that were beyond the statute of limitations. And his chance for appeal in New York under a Democrat judge are null. He'll get out of it, but it's got to go to the Supreme Court, at which point in time the left can sit there and go, oh, favoritism by the right for the right. But it's favoritism by the left for the left, and they know that. They know what they are doing.
You know, I got to play Harriet Hagerman. She was on at a hearing, and I guess one of the guys chairing the hearing was Jerry Nadler. Jerry Nadler is a waste of space. He's from New York. He looks like the Penguin. He used to look like the Penguin, but he's had his stomach tied, I guess, a bypass surgery. He lost some weight, but he still has managed to keep that look.
Eat it all back.
Yeah, I think he has. First of all, we're going to hear Harriet Hagerman talking about the case. And then I'm going to play another cut from her where she talks about the differences between how the Democrats look and the judicial system handled the Hunter Biden case versus the Donald Trump case. But first, I want you to hear this. Both of them, by the way, directed at Jerry Nadler, who's a doofus. Listen.
As a long-practicing attorney, they are not the same thing. The audio is the best evidence of what he said, how he said it, the time that it took for him to say it, and in what ways they may have altered that transcript. The moment that they released the transcript and said, this is the interview, they waived their ability to claim any kind of a privilege.
The actual audio of the interview available, let the American people be the deciders here.
Because.
Why hide that from
because
them? People are sensitive because they were told that, say, a certain laptop was Russian disinformation, and 51 members of the intelligence community signed a letter to that effect, and then it turns out, well, maybe it was
because,
not.
Because the chairman of the Judiciary Committee has already been caught altering.
May I respond?
No, yeah. not until I finish. Has been caught altering verbal, electronic transcripts in the case of Nina Jankowicz. And we have every reason to believe, or let me retract that, yeah. We have no reason to believe that he wouldn't do so again.
Yeah.
If I may respond. That
please, I wish
that,
you would.
That is absolutely untrue. Neither Jim Jordan nor anybody on the Judiciary Committee made any changes to Nina Jankowicz's interview transcript. That's absolutely a false statement. There's one other point that I think needs to be clarified, which is that Special Counsel Robert Hur stated on page one of his report, our investigation uncovered evidence that President Biden willfully retained and disclosed classified materials after his vice presidency when he was a vice president. The reason that he recommended against prosecuting President Biden was not a gratuitous statement. It was the reason as to why he refused to recommend prosecution. And it was that because Joe Biden is a, quote, sympathetic, well-meaning elderly man with a poor memory, Mr. Hur was concerned that a jury would not be willing to convict. Anyone who wants to see what Mr. Hur actually found and his explanation of what he did, you can go and you can watch the hearing before the Judiciary Committee. But one thing is very clear, and I will go back to it again. The folks on the other side of the aisle keep wanting to say the transcript and the audio are identical. There is no reason why, if you have the transcript, you're entitled to the audio. As a long practicing attorney, they are not the same thing. The audio is the best evidence of what he said, how he said it, the time that it took for him to say it, and in what ways they may have altered that transcript. The moment that they released the transcript and said, this is the interview, they waived their ability to claim any kind of a privilege. And they don't have a legally valid privilege in addition to that. And it's for that reason that we believe that Merrick Garland needs to be held in contempt of Congress.
I firmly believe that the American people are entitled to hear this. And I'm grateful that you brought this today. I'll give you a chance to respond, Mr. Nadler, but then we need to move on.
I will agree with Ms. Hageman that there is no evidence that the transcript was altered whatsoever. Transcript wasn't altered. But in Ms. Jankiewicz's case, the transcript wasn't altered. The video was altered. Yep. And that's what we're concerned about.
We're not arguing the Jankiewicz case. We're arguing.
No, but if the Judiciary Committee.
The American people deserve the ability to see that and make this decision on their own. They are sick and tired of being lied to by agency.
Jerry Nadler is a doofus. By the way, Nina Jankiewicz, if you'll remember, she was the one who had the videos of her trying to sing the Broadway tunes. She was going to be the person in charge of censoring the censors, and she was going to be a real problem. And by the way, he's saying that her videos were altered, and what Hageman said is, no, that never happened. There was no alteration of any videos. By the way, also, I'm so sick of these internet influencers putting music. Please don't put music on the audio. Just play it as it is. You're not playing a scene from, Psycho or something like that. It's just audio. But a lot of these young influencers think, oh, gotta add some mysterious theme music behind it. Hageman, I guess, came back and they continued this debate. I believe the next day. I could be wrong. Could have been the same day. She took Nadler to the woodshed because he was telling that there was big differences. There was no difference between the Trump case, the way the Trump case was handled, and the way Biden's son's case, Hunter's case, was handled. And Harriet Hageman, who, by the way, is the lady who replaced Liz Cheney, thank God, and I believe also was an attorney, so that's where you hear her fearlessness, because she's used to speaking the truth.
Right.
She nailed Nadler. Listen.
The gentlelady from Wyoming a moment ago said that there were clear differences between the way the Hunter Biden trial was conducted and the legitimacy of that trial and the illegitimacy of the Donald Trump trial in New York. Maybe she'd enlighten us as to the difference.
I'm happy to have that debate with you any day of the week.
Please.
But I just don't think that that's relevant to what we're discussing.
Well, you brought it up. So
I mean, we can start with.
You said it was absurd. Wait, hold on, Ms. Hageman.
All right. We can start with the judge that was handpicked rather than randomly chosen, which is typical in most of your court cases. You can talk about the fact that you talked about unanimity of verdict. We don't even know what the verdict was at this point in terms of what he was allegedly convicted of unanimously. We can talk about the fact that the almost every single ruling that was made by the by Judge Marchand in New York was against the defense, despite the fact that when you're dealing with a criminal case, is there's either typically much more of a balance, or in fact to ensure that the prosecution actually meets its burden of proving beyond a reasonable doubt, most of the rulings would be in favor of the criminal defendant, not in favor of the prosecution. It's in the fact that the expert witness, who is the former head of the Federal Election Commission, was excluded from testifying as an expert witness in the case in New York, despite the fact that he has been qualified as an expert witness to testify on these matters throughout the entire United States. It is the fact that there were other witnesses that were excluded. There was substantial evidence, prejudicial evidence, that was admitted during the course of the trial. And then when you look at what happened with Hunter Biden, the prosecution was very precise, very specific about the nature of the statute that was at issue and how he violated it. And then they brought in the evidence from the family members, the ex-wife, the girlfriend, the Beau's widow, the young girlfriend, all of the testimony, him reading the book, all of the testimony. The evidence was overwhelming that Hunter Biden had violated the specific statute at issue. So there's dramatic differences in terms of how the New York case was handled versus how the case against Hunter Biden was handled. If you'd like to spend another 3 or 4 hours, we can go outside and I can give you additional evidence to that effect.
If you'd like to spend another 3 or 4 hours, we can go outside and I'll give you additional information to that effect. I mean, she really did a very good job. That was extemporaneous, too. She didn't look down at her notes. She just brought that off the top of her head.
But Democrats don't care. They have their little narrative to go along with the story that they've given the news to disseminate to the people, and people are sensationalized and into the story. It doesn't have to be real. It just has to promote their narrative. So they don't care what evidence she's got. They don't care at all. But talking about, going back to Merrick Garland and the tapes and all of that stuff, the DOJ came out, I guess, yesterday and said, no, we're not going to prosecute him. So Ana Paulina Luna did file that thing. I don't know what's going on where they want to sit there and...
Did she file it? I know that she said she was going to file it, but I didn't see where she actually filed it yet.
I think she did file it. She put it all forth because she had to wait for them to sit there and go, nah, we're not going to prosecute him. Yeah,
what do they call the inherent contempt? Inherent contempt, I believe.
And I'm wondering when and how that's going to go down. It's got to go down. If she did file it yesterday, it's got to be voted on Monday or Tuesday.
I would think.
Yeah. There's not a lot of time. And actually, we are getting to a very interesting time with everything. I mean, you got Trump's probation hearing that's coming up on the 11th. Even real lefty-left Democrats will say, historically, for that crime, you got probation, and that's it, and you're restricted where you can go. No one's been put in jail, but, you know, Trump's contempt and all of that stuff, speaking out against the judge might get him the jail time. It's going to be interesting what they do. Coming up here in about a week or so, we've got the first debate, maybe.
I still think that they're going to try to figure out a way to keep Joe off that stage, because if you saw him in Italy at the G7, the guy was completely lost. He was out of it. At one point, President Maloney from Italy had to walk over to Biden because he literally wandered away from the group.
Well, what they're saying is, and the left is saying it, we have the actual video where it's wider and there were parachuters over there. Well, you could see that parachute. But he wasn't looking down at them or looking at the guys over here packing up. He was looking off into the woods. But, you know, they're going to – and then they were very adamant about saying, this is what the right does. It's fake news. They take and twist everything. You are projecting when you do that.
I mean
– or when the left does that, they project what they do all the time.
You have Jill Biden, who gets out on television, and the media just gives her an open mic and lets her talk. And she'll say things like, you know, there's no real difference in age between Joe and President Trump. Forget the chronological years. There are decades of difference between Biden and Trump with regard to cognitive ability. I mean, Biden is completely lost. He's walking around in the woods, and she expects this Jill Biden, boy, talk about elder abuse. She just pushes her husband, who's so confused, into the public eye. And, you know, it would be one thing if Biden went there, and even if he stood and looked thoughtful and looked diplomatic, but he looks like an old guy at a nursing home who's wandering the halls. That's the thing. He looks. I'm embarrassed for the guy. I don't like the guy. I think he's done a lot of bad things, and I think he continues to. I'm sure he has lucid moments, and I'm sure during those lucid moments he's very happy to be the president and wants to continue. But he embarrasses our country on the world stage. And they just want to keep on keeping on.
Well, the left is out there trying to point at Trump's age, and I don't know if he said it or not as a joke or whatever. They're going, well, you know, Trump the other day said that even Joan Rivers in 2016 voted for him. Well, she died in 2014. So they're trying to make an age thing about Trump, and then they're also talking about, you know, there's been rumors that Biden's going to drop out. And I'm wondering if, maybe he is, because he shouldn't be running, but they had to, you know, stitch up the primaries where he can hand off things, because they got Kamala, they got Newsom, they got, what's her name, Gretchen, they got Michelle that they're looking at, and I think they're even looking at Dumbface over there, Dumbo in New York, the governor of New York.
Who, Kathleen Hochul?
Yeah, Hochul, yeah. That's it. You know, and I'm like going, how are they going to be? Would you vote for any one of them?
No, absolutely not. You know, it's interesting. They say that Joan Rivers said she would have voted for Trump. I would remind people that Joan Rivers lived in New York, and she probably socialized with Trump for decades. They were probably friends, and he probably even said to her at some point, hey, maybe I'll run for president. She probably said to him, I'd vote for you. I mean, she was more of a conservative than a liberal, at least from what I've been able to ascertain. I want to play for you something. The Trump campaign released this. It's a video. The video is actually funnier than the audio, but it's some of Joe Biden's faux pas. Listen.
We hold these truths to be self-evident. All men and women created by the go, you know the thing.
America is a nation that can be defined in a single word. I was in foothills of the Himalayas with Xi Jinping.
She knows so long as I denied, her freedom can never be secured.
We'll never forget lying around. And if I was, and that's him lying around, actually.
It is noteworthy that the percentage of women who register to vote and cast a ballot is consistently higher than the percentage of the men who do so. End of quote. Repeat the line.
I'll lead an effective strategy to mobilize true international effort to pressure.
Now, if you didn't understand a lot of that, it's because nobody did. He would say gibberish. He says gibberish. There used to be a comedian who did that, and everybody laughed, but now everybody's supposed to sit there and pretend they understand what he's saying. Oh, yeah, I got that, Joe. Remember that one thing?
You do that well.
Thank you very much. I'm very good.
You want to stand in for Joe? He needs a stand-in.
My second language is gibberish. I'm very good at gibberish. They also released another a video, which I thought was interesting, about the economy. The Trump team has realized that, yeah, you can buy time on TV stations. That's all well and good. Networks, key shows, that's all well and good. But nowadays, with social media being what it is, you can put a really creative video out there, and it can become viral, and it finds a life of its own. This show is an example of viral and found a life of its own without a lot of money put into it or publicity. You know, it just people find it. But listen to this. This is an economic video from the Trump team.
Two-thirds of Americans consider themselves middle class are now facing financial hardship.
Many remain deeply uneasy about the economy and the prospect of a looming recession.
Everybody's suffering. Everybody. It doesn't make any sense.
Everything's gone up an absurd amount.
Americans are paying an 18% inflation tax. All states have hit gas price highs, all 50 of them.
The IRS is building an army of new auditors, and some of them could be armed. New Democratic spending bill will add nearly 87,000 new IRS agents.
Going after low-income earners are easy targets for an audit. The poorest families were audited at a rate five times higher than for everyone else.
That's Bidenomics in action.
When I get to office, we are going to not charge taxes on tips, people making tips.
Voters in key swing states overwhelmingly favored the economy under Trump. If it's about the economy, Trump is going to win a landslide, I guarantee it.
Voters say it is Trump who would better handle the economy.
Her saying the economy and everything is better, it was far better under President Trump.
We have the greatest economy in the history of our country, and we're going to have it again, but in spades. It's going to be bigger and better than ever before.
I'm not sure who said it. I know it was a Democrat. It might have been Al Gore. It might have been Jim Carville. But they said it's the economy, stupid. It's the economy, stupid. It might have been Carville who said it, actually, when he was more lucid and he wasn't throwing around his F-bombs. And it is the economy. When all is said and done, if you have a terrible economy, that hurts everybody in their pocketbook right at home. You know, everything else is secondary.
Well, they like to say the economy is great. It's not great. But they're trying to build the illusion that it's fantastic. And they want to indict Trump. But the more they indict him, the more we unite. So they got to just forget about it.
Yeah. Well, it's hard to forget. You know, I truly think, God forgive me, I think they're going to want to put him in Rikers Island. They want to. Send him
they
to
want
jail.
Him dead because even in Rikers Island, he will win the election. The only thing they can do is they've got to come up with a poison pill, a candidate that just Trump can't go against, you know, because the indictments aren't working.
Well,
they're still going to lock him up.
I hear people saying, well, they'll never lock him up. They'll put him on a home arrest or they'll have supervised movement, but they're not going to put him in jail. And I'm sorry, folks, if you had told somebody 2 years ago that they were even going to try Donald Trump, they would have said, oh, that's never going to happen. Everything is on the table now. Everything has changed. And I do think that they would think nothing about putting him in jail. I think they're petrified. I do think the left right now truly is petrified because you're only, 5 months away from the election. They start voting in some states as early as September by mail. We have people who are on the left who've done some not just bad things, but treasonous things, and I think that they're afraid that they're going to be punished. And you'll hear them say things like, well, he's going to be like a dictator and put his enemies in prison. Well, what I hear from the Trump people is, wait a second, everything we do, including Steve Bannon. Steve Bannon said this just a couple of days ago to Tucker. Yes, there's going to be hell to pay for some of these people, but everything will be done constitutionally. We can't become them, but it doesn't mean that we're going to let it slide anymore. Meaning, in the first administration, Trump knew that they did things that were wrong, and he cut them slack. He even said at one point, I'm not going to put the Clintons in jail. I mean, the Clintons probably snickered and laughed and thought, sucker. Well, that won't happen again this time around. He's not running for re-election again, folks. This is going to be a slam, bam, thank you, ma'am, 4 years, and people who have done corrupt things are going to be taken, I believe, to justice. And I think that they think that they're going to be. That's why you're going to hear him say, oh, they want to be. He's going to be a dictator and put his enemies in prison. They're setting themselves up, but they're trying to make you think that if they go to prison, they're being sent there as a political prisoner. Some of these people on the left are treasonous. You know, I mean, well, look at Biden and what he did. If he did what I think he did and sold influence to the Chinese, who can it be any more of a traitor? I mean, I don't care how you package it. I don't care how he may be shielded by 8 different layers of money laundering before the check gets to his account. But ultimately, it's a one-on-one deal. Hunter sold the Chinese access to his dad for influence, period.
The reason you're not going to get to him is because, yeah, he may have taken the American public to the cleaners and sold out the country, but you gotta remember that some of the people that are with the cleaners are Democrats or Republicans. They're part of it. So they're not going to go after the guy.
No, I don't think that you – I think you're mistaken in that you're assuming that he's not going to go after bad Republicans. For example, let me give you an idea yesterday that at that press conference that he had with the senators, the Republican senators. This was 2 days ago. I have the audio here, but I'll hold off for a second. At that meeting was Mitt Romney, right? I mean, you saw the senators file out of this private meeting, and there's Mitt Romney. But did he stick around for the photo op with President Trump? Oh, hell no. He was gone.
Him and Ryan, but, you know, I don't assume that he's not going to go after bad Republicans. I do assume they're going to do everything they can in their power to stop him from getting back into power. And, you know, I see these negative little memes out there like, you know, out of all these jobs in the world, you can't hire a felon, but you can have a president as a felon. I will remind you that when you look at the Declaration of Independence, everybody that signed it is a felon.
And I also remind our Democratic friends, that they built a statue and the president went to the funeral for George Floyd, who was a convicted felon many times over, but yet he's St. George to so many, even as we speak.
The saint of getting high.
Also think that we should also look at what's going to happen a little differently. Right now, you're saying that the Republicans who were corrupt are going to do everything in their power to keep Trump from being successful with his, going after people. But here's where I think the problem is for everybody who's done something wrong. You know, it's like pulling a Band-Aid off or pulling off a scab. It pulls a lot of things. So let's say you find one person, and that one person is corrupt. Well, that person, you start to interrogate them, and you cut them a deal, and they have some information on so-and-so.
They sing, yeah.
Yeah, and before you know it, you've got a pyramid of evidence against a lot of people. It's not just like you're going after one and then going after another and then going after another. You're going after a group, and they're all going to start singing. They're going to sing against each other for a deal. And a lot of people are sweating about that. They don't know what the hell to do.
Well, if they go to them, they're gonna cut deals and start singing.
Absolutely.
Will Hunter start singing because he's still got a tax trial coming up. And I don't know that they're going to hold him accountable. Hell, I mean, Dad might step down if the Democrats come up with a plan to replace him and is on his way stepping down. Hunter has been pardoned of everything. You know, he would do that.
Well, it's going to be interesting, folks. I want to play for you something else. The left is trying to make it look like everybody on the right is a conspiracy theorist. By the way, the pitcher, Stubbe, who was pitching at the congressional baseball game a couple of nights ago, he was wearing a MAGA hat. Oh, that was, because they had red uniforms. So he wore his MAGA baseball cap out onto the pitching mound, and oh, the left went bananas. Oh, my God. You see, he was wearing a MAGA hat. Oh, my God. Oh, how could that be? Is he normal? Anyway, they're trying to make it sound, the left is, they're trying to make it sound like if you use the term republic, a constitutional republic,
oh yeah,
that's weird. That's weird. We should be thought of as a democracy. That's the word. You know, I'm under the impression, and I think I'm right, that a democracy is a little different than a constitutional republic. A democracy,
it's a lot different.
Well, a democracy, it's yay or nay. Everybody gets a vote. You tally them up, and that's how it works. We're not that way in this country. We have electoral colleges who represent us. We have representatives and senators who go to Washington who represent us and vote for us. I mean, we don't go to Washington and vote, you know. Democracy is different than a constitutional republic. But the people at CNN don't understand that. I want you to listen to this report. This was on CNN. Mm-hmm. This is some young guy who he can't figure out what the heck is going on. Why are the people on the right correcting him when they say, no, no, we're not a democracy. We're a constitution. We're a republic. And he can't figure that one out. Listen.
Obviously, there's a lot of criticisms of Trump that he is bad for democracy, that he's bad for American democracy.
Okay. We are a republic.
We're a republic.
We are not a democracy.
Republic. We're not a democracy.
One thing we've been hearing at Trump rallies like this over the past few months is that America isn't really a democracy.
America's not a democracy. It's a republic.
It's not a democracy. Okay, democracy is actually not as good as you think it is.
But for centuries, America has celebrated its democracy.
Democracy is worth dying for.
Democracy remains the definition of political legitimacy.
But some Republicans and pro-Trump media are pushing the idea that America is not a democracy.
The United States of America is not a democracy. We are a constitutional republic.
The United States of America is not a democracy. You don't want to be in a democracy.
We are not a democracy. We are a republic.
Is America a democracy?
America is a democracy. It was founded as a democracy.
I've heard a lot of conspiracy theories. I hear a lot of things out on the road. But to hear Americans, people who would describe themselves as patriots, say that America is not a democracy, that stopped me in my tracks.
You are hearing people say America is not a democracy because there are people around Trump who want them to be saying that, who've been planting that narrative.
Is America a democracy?
Yes. No,
I don't. I think
well, not
we're
right
a
now,
republic.
But we're a republic.
What's the difference?
I feel like democracy. It's government control. I don't see freedom in democracy. I see freedom in the republic.
Honestly, the word democracy and the word republic have often been used interchangeably. There isn't a meaningful difference between them.
So much of the warnings and criticism about Trump is that he is a threat to democracy, that he is anti-democratic.
Absolutely. If they can convince people that we don't have a democracy, then it's okay that Trump is attacking democracy because it doesn't really matter.
That was interesting. That was a report from CNN, and you know, they are stuck up. Reason why I was a little late coming in on that report is I was doing a little fact checking. It occurred to me that I believe Ben Franklin was asked when he was coming out of a constitutional convention meeting, do we have a democracy? Someone asked him whether he said you have a republic if you can keep it, you know, or he might have even said we have a constitutional republic if you can keep it. And so, I mean, there was Ben Franklin, one of the founders, who was, you know, clarifying the situation. Let me see, make sure I got it right. The question was put to Franklin by Elizabeth Powell. She said, well, doctor, what have we got, a republic or a monarchy? And he answered, you have a republic if you can keep it. So Ben Franklin, who was there, you know, he called it a republic. And are you going to say, folks, that he's not a patriot? You know, this amazes me. What this says to me is the ignorance and the stupidity of these people over at these networks. This young guy was shocked that he was being corrected by these people in the street who called it a republic.
Well, yeah. They went to school, but they didn't pay attention.
Well, that's true, too. And, you know, the expert, they had this woman. She was dressed very spiffy. Her hair was done very elegantly. She talked with a certainty in her voice. Obviously, somebody who went to Sarah Lawrence or Pembroke or Brown or went to one of these fine Ivy League schools. And she was going to correct all of those ruffians on the right-hand side of the road. My God. Yeah, she was going to tell them that the words are interchangeable. No, numbskull. They're not totally interchangeable, okay?
Well, they have to be for her to sell her story and her narrative, and then they become uninterchangeable once they get it locked in.
Well, anyway, I'm amazed. That's the thing you have to watch out for when you're watching these other networks, is they put this stuff out there, and they do it with a certain amount of a pretense that they're talking with truth. They are talking with a knowledge that is above yours, the viewers. There are a lot of people out there in this country who are not in the media, who are not in broadcasting, who are not college educated, who are not the people that you see on these forums discussing politics. No, they're just average everyday Americans who have it figured out. They know what the heck is going on, you know? And those are the people you should be listening to. It's common sense, Bill. It really is. I'm going to play. Mm-hmm. I wasn't going to play this, but I'm going to play this. You know Hulk Hogan? Remember Hulk Hogan? Yes.
The wrestler, yeah.
The Hulkster. He was on Fox and Friends, and he's promoting a beer. I'll play the commercial for you in a little bit, but I want to play for you. He was winding up his interview on Fox and Friends. Listen.
Well, you know what? You want to take the edge off, have a real American beer if it's afternoon somewhere. Hulk, thank you very much for joining us. It's great to have that flashback with you.
And you guys are awesome. Thank you so much.
Yes or no, run for office. Sorry, I interrupted Brian's question.
Well, you know something? We need somebody in there that's got some common sense. You know what I'm saying? So if you need a president or a vice president, I'll volunteer and take this country over, and I'll rule with an iron fist, a flat tax, nothing but common sense. I know right from wrong, brother.
All right. I like those two policies. We're going to have a flat tax. We're going to have common sense. I like your platform, Hulk.
So anyway, that's the Hulkster. We need common sense, you know? And really and truly, that's exactly what the guy in the street's thinking, you know.
Well, we're common sense type of people, and, you know, for the people, by the people. But they want to change that. You know who else is thinking about throwing their hat in? Not a good guy. Got money. Mark Cuban, thinking he wants to get into politics and maybe even as a VP or a president.
Well, I think he would be wasting his money. And he's not somebody who releases his money all that easily. He's very tight and very careful about how he spends his money. I don't think he'll go into politics. I think he'll talk about it. It cost him.
Well, if he can make money out of it, because that's probably what he's looking at. I mean,
it cost him nothing to talk about it. Nothing. The Hulkmeister, Hulk Hogan, was talking about a new beer that he's promoting.
Sure.
Listen.
But I get an idea for a beer that it doesn't matter if you're a Republican, you're a Democrat, it doesn't matter what sex you are, it doesn't matter what race you are, where you're from, what you believe in. I've got a beer that's going to bring America back together one beer at a time, and it's called Hulk Hogan's Real American Beer, brother. People are tired of being separated. People are tired of being divisive, you know? We all want the same thing. We all want a good life. We want our family, our friends. We want to have the borders closed. We want peace in the Middle East. We want food in the grocery store to be reasonable, that we can afford it. We want to make sure we don't get killed at the gas pump. And at the end of the day, we want God back in our schools and in our churches and in our life. So that's what this is all about. People kind of like scattered and ran into the bushes. Now everybody's kind of like going, you know what? We want a better life. You know, it's way beyond politics now. This is about real Americans being real Americans and standing up for God, family, and country. So I think we're all pivoting and coming back together.
That's the Hulkster.
I'm going to bet he's not going to get Dylan Mulvaney to do his commercials.
You think?
And I'm going to bet that somebody from the left, after hearing him say all of that stuff and the eagle in the background and, you know, good American values and whatnot, they're not going to drink the beer.
I also think, and this is, I have nothing to back this up on, but I was thinking, you know, the Bud Light people brewed a lot of beer. It's probably sitting in vats and chilled.
Just relabel it.
And I was thinking, how do you get rid of all that beer? You get the Hulkster to come out with a new kind of beer. I'm just saying, you know. I have nothing to back that up, but it would make sense.
Well, for lack of a better way to put it, I'd probably come out with panther tinkle, I'd call it something else.
Yeah, yeah, P. Yes, I know.
Yeah, it would be get a can of pee pee today, panther. Well, you know.
Yes, exactly. Anyway, anything else you want to throw out there before we wrap this update program up?
Well, I didn't dismantle the kitchen sink, so I can't throw it out there. And besides, I've got a yard that awaits me for a week worth of work, you know. So,
yeah, really. We're taking some time to breathe. I'm going to do some work. You know what they call for around where I live? An excessive heat warning next week.
Oh, you know, that's funny because El Nino is over. We have La Nina company coming, and they say La Nina is going to be really bad. We are getting in for some really terrible weather, wicked hurricanes, and just bad, a cold winter, or whatever it's going to do. I can't wait for Un Nina to get here.
Are they coming across the border? Is that how they're getting here?
They came across in little knapsacks and probably stuffed in somebody's pants somewhere as they climbed a fence. Mm-hmm. But I don't know. I want Un Nina because I'm tired of El Nino and I'm tired of La Nina, and I want them gone. And I want the Un.
Yes.
Forget about all this crap.
Well, next week, don't look for it. It's going to be hot in the Northeast.
Like our show.
Yes, 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 yes. My lawn, I don't know about you, but with this heat, what happens is it grows like weeds in the beginning of the summer. And then
don't
when
cut
the,
it short.
And then when the heat comes in, it just stops. And some of it kind of browns out, which I don't like. I try to keep it, I try to cut it high so it doesn't brown out, but, the heat is just unbearable sometimes. I don't know why I'm telling you this, friends. I feel like we're doing a gardening show now. But anyway, next week we're going to be just taking some time to breathe. You know, we do our show early, so we'll be able to sleep in a little bit, which will be nice.
And I'm going to go stand out in the lawn like a scarecrow when the kids come along. Get off my lawn!
Well, that's always fun. See their expression. We will be back with live shows if we need to. If something were to happen, we may not have the produced program. It may just be a quick our thoughts kind of thing, you know? But for the most part, it'll be a best of, and it'll be all week long. You'll get new shows. And with a little bit of luck and God taking care of everything, we'll be back on Monday, which is the, what is it, the 24th? Is that it? I'm just, don't go away.
I'm going
to my little calendar here.
24th.
The 24th. We'll be back on the 24th if everything goes well. And if not, we'll be back on the 25th. But we'll be back the following week. So
there you go. Yeah.
Anything you want to add before we wrap this little thing up? Or you want to rush out to your front lawn and scare some kids?
No, I'm leaving the lawn alone for the weekend because it's going to have too much of me, next week working in the garden and the lawn. So.
Wonderful. Okay. Well, with a little bit of luck, we'll see you soon, folks.
Don't forget to like and share us. And yeah, hasta la vista. We're out of here.
This is CRN America.